Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
The perfect music to get us going here on Tee to Green. It's Masters Week. We're excited. Good morning from East Aurora Country Club. It is Tee to Green. Double the fun this week.
Hello, friends.
Very good. I was waiting for, I was hoping you were going to do that, Kevin.
Can't do it as good. And neither can the impressionist from Ireland. He tried to do Jim Nance. He's great with the golfers. Nance needed some work. But it's Jim Nance. I mean, that's...
it's tough to do.
You can't do Jim Nance.
That's right. It is Masters Week, and we have 2 hours this week. We're excited, and Jeff and I got here, I think, at 4 a.m. We were so excited about Masters
right
Week.
Right after we ran stairs, right, Brian?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You guys did something. I walk in, you got, like, usually... Yeah, oh, it's early. You guys are like, hey, how's it going? Like, you had went for pancakes before, didn't invite me. That's fine.
It didn't take as long as we thought to get out here, and that's all.
That's right. But anyway, we're here at East Aurora Country Club, beautiful East Aurora Country Club. The sun is out somewhat. It's bright. The guys are out mowing already.
Yep, mowers are going.
Course is looking great. I just tweeted out a picture if you want to check it out at Brian WGR. But, yes, it is Masters Week. We're excited. I know that if you're a golfer and you're up here listening to our show, you've been excited to watch Masters Week. And we're happy to be with you here for double the time this week here on WGR. And also on our Tee to Green Facebook page, hello to everybody watching there. So you can check us out there as well.
I will question if they have 2 hours to watch us on Facebook. They may need to get a hobby.
No, they're just excited for golf later today. This is their pregame show.
Well, they can watch it later. That's a nice thing. If you miss any part of the show, we put it on Facebook Live. You can go back and watch it later. So
that's right.
Part of the reason why we do it. And there's some folks that check it out on Facebook.
That's right. So. 2 minutes after 7 here, I'm Brian Colsey along with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Metis, our normal crew. Derek Kramer back in our Amherst studios. We will have lots of news on the Masters and our – of course, Derek's got a lot of sound bites coming up from a lot of the leaders. We'll hear from Tiger. We'll hear from Brooks Koepka. We'll hear from some of the others that are contending this week. Our normal features, as always, our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. That's coming your way. Batavia Downs Majors Challenge. We've got a record number of entries this week. A ton of people took Rory McIlroy in that. Ooh. So that might have not have worked out as well for them.
My suggestion didn't work out well either.
With
Justin Rose.
Justin Rose. Yeah, well, he didn't make the cut. They're getting $0. Well, that's right. We'll have our Absolute Care Champions report coming up here along the way and our normal information along here as we get you going. Another giveaway, too, for our Tee to Green Club members.
Yes, a major giveaway on a major week. The Hook and Gaff Watch Company. I'm representing today.
You got the watch and the hat.
Yeah, there you go. So
you left my watch at home, I think.
Sorry.
Yeah, mine too.
Bring that next week for us.
I had to go to Orlando to get these. But anyways, one of our lucky club members, we've got all the names. So you were talking about calculating the entries, the majors challenge, and the time-consuming. Let me tell you, I should have printed the list out of our members in bigger print. So when I had to cut them with scissors to enter in our – we actually have an entry box there for the random draw. That's how – I mean, we're legit here.
You're going to have to read them, too. That font is way too small. For
yes, well, that's what I'm saying. Yes. They were small strips, and I realized – I'm like, email address and name on there. If I just done the names, I could have done it in 5 minutes, but going across the line. Anyhow.
That's right.
We've got all our members over there in the Tee to Green raffle box, and one lucky member is going to win the Hook and Gaff Golf Watch – and the watch by. So the bezel's on the opposite side, right?
So
most people are right-handed, right. So it doesn't into your wrist. I played actually yesterday.
Weird. With it.
I know, right?
Yeah, you played? Yeah. I know.
Well, it was nice. I had to do it. So anyways, your information will be sent to Michael, who is the CEO of Hook & Gaff, and he will send it to you directly. So
that's great.
That's how it's all going to work.
So we're here at East Aurora Country Club, and with that, we introduce the fourth man of our roundtable here this morning, PGA Pro David Jones from East Aurora. We always look forward to talking with David. David, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for rolling out the red carpet for us, as you always do. So you ready for some Masters talk here?
We absolutely are. Is there a better time of the year?
No, it's great. You guys are getting ready. The course looks great already here. You know, we have come here. Normally, we make two annual visits to East Aurora every year on tee to green. We're always back later in the summer for the International Junior Masters, which we'll talk about. We love that event. It's a great event. But we always usually come at some point during April. Some weeks we've come here, it's been beautiful. Some weeks we've come here, and you've been shoveling a path for us to get in. But this year, looks like we're in good shape here. The golf course looks great.
It's fantastic. That's one of our claims to fame. Is we always open up real well. We drained something with the topography or the soil. Drew Thompson and his team, amazing at their craft. So we're always a week or two ahead of our neighboring golf clubs from a conditioning standpoint. We were able to get carts out last week with no restrictions. So yeah, we're excited. It's anytime you're playing golf and before the Masters is over, it's a win in upstate New York.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Already got carts out.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yes.
Yep.
That is great. Yeah, we were here for International Junior Masters Week, and that, of course, will be coming back, right? Another year?
Another year. It's not going to go away for the foreseeable future. It's been here 60-plus years, so we're really looking forward to assembling that field. It's come in nicely. We've got some really strong players from as far as India this year. I think that's going to be one of our farthest travelers. We've got good representation from Canada always, Ohio, Pennsylvania. So, again, strong field. We're really looking forward to putting on a show for them.
Kevin, we were talking last year when we were here how great that some of the local events have kind of all worked together now. We've done our show at the International Junior Masters. We, of course, are at the Porter Cup in Niagara Falls. Last year we were down at the Web.com event at Peak and Peak, and now they all have a connection in terms of trying to – you know, everybody that's playing in this event has a goal to maybe make the PGA Tour someday. But now they're kind of all connected.
I think it'd be great to see a run this year of the winner of the International Junior Masters goes to the Porter Cup, wins the Porter Cup, and then following year.
Yeah.
Would get, although they're, you know, but would there get an exemption into the Web.com Tour event, the LECOM.
Yeah. There is a pathway, though, now, right?
There's
to the
a
PGA
pathway.
Tour,
there's
right?
a pathway, yes.
Because if you win the IGM, that gets you into the Porter Cup. You win the Porter Cup, that gets you into the LECOM.
Well, I hope that continues event.
And then you win that LECOM event. Yeah.
So you got status on the LECOM.
And then if you win there, it gets you into the PGA Tour. So it's you're three wins away.
They're three wins away. It's a great ladder. And we could actually stretch it a fourth because last year, as you know, we introduced the PGA Junior League to come out here on our Tuesday, our open afternoon, to play their match.
That's right.
To see how the older kids do. So hopefully that invigorates them to want to continue down the path, and we'll see them in the future in the IJM. So really there's a fourth rung to that ladder starting at age 8.
Yeah. No, we did our show in front of that junior PGA event that last year, but I want to on air compliment you and your staff for what you guys did with that. That was really cool to see that, to have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds out there playing. And I just thought it was cool because, I mean, your son was out there. My son was too. But they're putting right next to the guys that were playing in the IGM. And they were so nice letting the little guys putt with them. And, I mean, I thought that was really cool. They're right out there on the same practice green.
It is. You know, when you start something, you always have a vision. Sometimes it's better than you anticipate. Sometimes it's not. This one was far better than we anticipated. We had 40 kids from our five sister clubs in the South in our division. We had some first tee participants. We set up a separate scoring area for them so they got to feel what it was like. We had two kids in a scramble format shoot one under par.
Wow.
Eight to 10 years old. That's impressive.
You know what? Well, one of them is Brian. He put on his son's extra jersey.
That's right.
And, like, you know, Tommy boy out there playing.
Shh, don't tell me.
And trying to sneak into the event Brian.
That's the spirit. That's what they're looking
for. Well, we talked about that path. I'm like, if I can just get these pesky juniors out of the way, I can get right on it. That's right.
Yeah, I saw that guy in the drive, chip, and putt, too. This is Roger. He's 12. shaved this morning a and little, drove himself here.
A little tall for his age, but yeah.
Yeah, that's smoking right. a cigarette.
All right.
That's right. Hey, how about that drive, chip, and putt, though? Jeff, you always say that's it's must-see TV for you.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It's the coolest. Yeah, if you don't get a little warm in your eyelids there when you watch some of that, it's pretty cool those kids get to do that. It's great TV. You hear their stories and just how they go back. They're all high-fiving each other. They're
kid chips in. How cool is that, right? Yeah. And they get him slow motion. He's like, yes.
Yeah, and there's, you know, it's just that you made it there. You know, it doesn't matter. It just that day. Those chips look like they're hard. It's tight grass. That's the Masters green.
It's a tight lie right there. Yeah.
The greens are quick, so those are tough chips. And, I can't imagine how much fun it must be. It's a must stop by now for all the tour players, too, because you just want to be part of it. Even if you're not, if you're there, you want to be part of watching that for sure.
And we saw Sergio was around. Patrick Reed was around. Bubba was around the whole time. It seems like Bubba Watson was there, too. And they were there Saturday, too, for that final round of the women's amateur, Kevin. We talked about that last week. Cindy Miller was on with us. And now the Masters is really shaping up almost into 2 weeks worth of good stuff.
Yeah, you know what was cool about the women's amateur, the back nine finish, right?
Yeah,
was incredible. And then they followed up on today's show, right? I mean, it wasn't just like, okay, great. You know, it was like, hey, this was a big deal. And
they kind of made all the stops that the Masters champion does,
that's,
right?
Yes.
The Today Show, the late night shows, all that
better
sort of
said.
Stuff.
That was great. So,
and the Masters is using it as part of their highlight package too. So when they do such a great job in the production of that TV show for the Masters, and they're showing the women, and they're showing, they're making that part of Masters Week, and I think that's great. I know some people wish that they had a women's professional event. There's already five majors for the women, and it's the nicest women's amateur event there was. And the Masters was founded, on a premise that there's going to be amateurs playing in that all the time. So it's great to have the amateur golf around. That was Bobby Jones' vision for that golf course and bring the women in. I think that was one of the coolest things they've done. They're doing a lot for golf, Masters. Yeah. They're taking their brand and they're using it to help promote golf in the right ways. It's really, really cool.
David, did you get a chance to see some of the women's event at
all? It was the first week we were open, so I saw the highlights at the end. So we were, again, as we know, in April, we're short-staffed when we're not ready to open. So I didn't see as much as I would have liked to have seen. But as a father of two daughters, I can't think of anything better for the game of golf. To Jeff's point, what a great 2 weeks. You get the kids, you get the female representation, and then you cap it with, gosh, what's shaping up to be historic.
I mean, we're sitting here Saturday morning, and what David's referring to is historic. This leaderboard, the number one player in the world didn't make the cut. Okay, Sergio didn't make the cut. Danny Willett, who settled himself back in the ranks, didn't make the cut in talking about previous champions, recent champions. But we don't – I mean, I don't want to say we don't need that, but, wow, look at the top of that leaderboard.
They're like the saying I heard yesterday. They're 10 wide going around the second turn. It was a horse race. It's just insane.
Yeah, there's only one
great
plow horse there that nobody heard of, Harding, right? Yeah. But everybody, everybody else, you're just like – oh, my God. Everybody's a 2-to-1 odds favorite now, it seems, right?
So
what, 7 tied for the lead?
Yeah. It's a 5-way tie. Molinari, Day, Koepka, Scott, and Oosthuizen are all at -7. Then you've got DJ, Harding, Schauffele, and Woods at -6. Poulter and Rahm at 5, and then a big group at 4, including Mickelson in there, too. It should be great. One thing on Harding, it's probably the one golfer maybe in the top 10 that people may not know about.
Yeah, people are like, is he an amateur? No, he's 33.
He's South African player.
He looks 10.
He's played all over the world. Last year this week, he missed the cut at the Zambian Open in Zambia. Or the Zambian Masters, I should say, in Zambia.
So he and I have that in common.
Yeah. That's right. And now he is one off the lead at the Masters. Masters, I should say.
Yeah, it's early. Yeah, I have a feeling that pressure is going to start to tighten that.
But how cool for him, though, that he is
awesome
to get in there with that group. David, this leaderboard, Molinari, Day, Koepka, Scott, Oosthuizen, DJ, Schauffele, Woods, Poulter, Rahm. I mean, it's setting up for a tremendous weekend here of golf. And pretty much anybody that you could be a fan of, you're rooting for the young guys, the old guys, the past champs, a guy looking for his first major, the hottest players in the world over the last year. Maybe you'd probably throw Koepka and Molinari in that group. I mean, they're all here right now.
What's surprising to me is that we still don't talk about Koepka going into the majors as much as we should.
Yeah.
Who's performed better?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Meade is
he picked
our soothsayer.
Yeah.
I have a man crush on him.
Do you? Great teeth. when yeah. you're on
similar workout regimens.
When you're
that's funny.
But when you're on, you know, when you're gearing up and you listen to all the prognostication of what's going to take place, you don't hear Koepka, and nobody's played better. Nobody's played close to as good as he has in the last 6-8 majors. So,
but he wasn't doing much coming in, but he seems to turn it on.
He's got the secret to preparation somehow that he's figured it out, whether it's his overall demeanor. He doesn't get nervous. You know, he had a great answer yesterday when they were asking him post round. What are you going to do? What are you thinking about for tomorrow? Nothing.
Yeah.
He was able to shut it off. And I think that probably.
We go out and play that way.
You don't have
expectations. You don't have I'm just going to play as hard as I can, the best I can all day, and we'll see what happens. If you go out there trying to shoot a number, sometimes you're putting pressure on yourself. You make a bogey early, well, that number seems far away. But, yeah, I think that was a great answer.
Yeah.
Well, I love that answer.
Most have said, too, but they always say, well, I want to get off to a good start. You know, of course, who doesn't? But, I mean, look at him yesterday. He goes birdie, double bogey, birdie. So, I mean, in terms of his reaction to starting a round – I mean, he obviously went from a high to a big low, back to a high. So he seems to be mentally strong. I mean, we know he's physically strong, but he's mentally strong too.
Stronger than the rest, and he's shown that. And we all talk about golf and how the physical and the mental, what's more important? I don't know as we've ever been able to decipher which is more important. I think we're finding with him that you had to have a little bit of both to be successful in the majors, or a lot of both.
It's a great point about. You know, we don't talk about him. I think the reason why, because he's only, I say only, right? He's won 3 majors here very
in his
recently.
Last 6 attempts at a major. That's amazing.
Prior to that, how many times has he won, Brian?
Not much, right?
One.
Just one regular time. PGA Tour event.
Right.
Those are boring. Yeah. Just win the
But so I say he's only won once. It's hard to win any week on the PGA Tour. But I think that's a big reason why. I mean, and we look at Justin Rose, who's number one in the world. He has 12 victories, and that includes the U.S. Open, right? So there's he's won a FedEx Cup recently, won the gold medal. I mean, we talk about those. Sergio, you look at all, you know, he's double digits in wins. All the players we talk about.
But Rose has one less major. He's got 2 versus Koepka's 3.
Correct.
You're right.
So,
but Rose's resume, as you just spelled out.
Oh, he's better.
He's got a better resume, right? Yeah. Like you look at Brooks Koepka. We're having this debate. It was the players at dinner at the Players Championship. We were like, well, Brooks Koepka, you know, if it ended today, would he be in the Hall of Fame? And I'm like, God, he's won 3 majors.
But he's only got one.
Yeah, so the consensus was, well, no, because he right now he's just in the middle of a hot streak, you know. But I'm like, his hot streak is, hey, I'm going to go play a major great, and then the rest, I'm like, it's not that he's not trying, but there's just something that clicks in for him with the majors.
What's he, 28 years old?
I think he's sub-30.
Yeah. He's got a long career ahead.
I've heard him multiple times say that he prepares for these majors different than he does for the regular PGA Tour events. But he's also he's criticized himself by saying, I've got to try to prepare better for the regular, you know, we call these regular events. But for just an event each week, he says, I go extra preparation. I get ready for these majors. And he's like, I feel like I need to do that even just for some of these regular PGA Tour events. And he's in some way criticized himself.
Well, he and Dustin Johnson are close, even still, you know, despite the talk about a fight over at the Ryder Cup, right? Yeah. Matter of fact, he was, you know, he's become more outspoken this year, Brooks Koepka.
He's a good Twitter follow.
He's a good Twitter follow, and his interviews are great now, like when he talked about Patrick Reed and all this criticism at the Ryder Cup. He's the only player, I said, hold on, that's not true. We went over and played practice rounds. Like, you know, there was a story that Justin Thomas was the only player who played a practice round. He's like, that's false. It's like, we all took trips over there. I went with 5 guys. We played together. Like, he's like, we practiced. So he's kind of saying, that's just hogwash.
Right.
I'll play with Patrick Reed. So anyway, he's kind of trying to separate himself a little bit. But he and Dustin Johnson are close friends. You look at Dustin Johnson, you can't tell a difference with DJ from the Torrey Pines, you know, Farmers Insurance Open to the Masters, right? Same demeanor the entire way. Koepka's admitting it's a little different for him. I think it does need to be a little different. It's a major.
Well, that's how Nicklaus approached it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger approached it.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, once you play for a while, you know, those are more important to you. And,
yes.
They do try to peak at certain times. There are things you can do in your game to try to peak at a certain time. It's not easy, you know, because you're trying to work on one thing and something else falls apart on you. But he's fun to watch, and he's been really, really good for golf. And just watching him blast driver. Have you covered him in person?
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy.
Is it?
I try not to get too close because then I feel worse about myself. I mean, the guy's, you know, built like an Adonis.
His shaft, the golf shaft, must be 200 grams or something. I don't know how it controls that kind of torque.
Well, here's an interesting thing. So, remember, he was a Nike player, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he still is as far as
apparel. You
know, apparel.
Yeah.
He, I want to say this was, we were at the Boston tournament, the playoff event. This was 3 years ago, maybe four. And he was staying at the same hotel where you're staying at, so he wasn't really big time yet. Let's see if you stay in the same hotel I'm staying at. But anyway, his caddy was out front with his bags, his bag. They were ready to go to the golf course, and we were waiting for our car to be pulled around too. And I'm just looking at the clubs. I'm like, he's still playing the Nike clubs. This was right after Nike announced they were out of club manufacturing. He's like, yeah, I can't talk him out of changing. He still likes these clubs. Matter of fact, they sent us extra ones, like the Overruns, just so he could replace them. Now he's changed golf clubs, which many players actually have here in recent years, but just kind of hanging on to old things.
Well, they're comfortable.
And he's but I think it coincided, the equipment change coincided with his success. Because it was right after that where he started becoming a factor in the majors, and then so I think this was only 3 years ago, frankly. He's still it was so notable that he still had Nike clubs in the bag. It was probably a year after Nike, what was it, 4 years ago, David?
About 4 years ago, yeah.
So this would have been 3 years ago. He was still using the Nike golf clubs.
Yep. 7:21 here on Tee to Green, our 2 hours edition for Masters Week. We're live at East Aurora Country Club. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, and the PGA Pro here at East Aurora, David Jones with us. And while David is with us, it's a good time for us to get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. We'll, of course, get more Masters talk in here. But with it being Masters Week, you're going to see a lot of putts on fast greens, downhillers, side lies, all that sort of stuff. Maybe similar to some of the putts you might see here at East Aurora, David. So we'll get your and Jeff's thoughts here on how to putt on really fast greens.
That's a good one.
There's a lot here.
So yeah. There are a lot here. Our team, Drew and his squad out there, keep our greens perfect speed. There's a threshold at most golf courses, especially here with some undulation. Everybody wants fast greens, but be careful what you ask for. It can really ruin a round of golf for you, or it can, more importantly, ruin a round of golf for the person behind you when you're out there all day.
Yeah, let's say you hit it back left on 16 here and the pin's front right.
You hit it in the wrong spot.
Yeah, well, you know, not only that, but yeah, that putt.
Yeah, so I think when you talk about putting to fast greens and how to navigate them, it's really where you leave yourself for me. Coming in is just as important as how you're going to putt the green is where you are. So putt to a spot. Really, and when we're teaching this, you know, figure out your spot. If it's 10 feet in front, putt to that spot. Don't putt to the flag every time. Find a spot that you can negotiate. Take your medicine. All putts aren't makeable. So when you do get to that golf course that has the excessively fast greens, not every putt's supposed to go in. Don't try to make one. Try to not three putt when you get to those areas. And again, be careful what you ask for. We hear it all the time, and boy, I really want to play a golf course with super fast greens, and we do have one here. But you can get too fast, and I think our clientele out there needs to understand that you shouldn't be Augusta. That's special. So.
And they don't keep them that fast all year.
They don't.
No,
they don't.
Too much pressure, too much stress on the greens. Yeah.
So putt to a spot. You can use the old ad. You can putt with the toe of your putter if you have a super fast putt. It's all hand, soft grip. When you're approaching it, but pay more attention to your approach to navigate that fast putt and make it less painful. So don't hit it to the left on top of 16. Air to the right if you can. So again, Koepka said yesterday when he's playing his interview, all he did was play for his misses, and he went through the whole round and missed it in the right spot every single time. So his up and downs on those excessively fast greens paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, if you set yourself up for uphill putts all day, you're going to have a much better day at a place like right. this where you have undulating greens. Fast putts are tough. You know, I see people tend to get a little twitchy with the fast putts. Choking up a little bit on your putter will deaden that putt too. So if you got a really fast downhill putt, a little shorter, you know, choke up, get down to the end of the grip there and shorten that putt up, because that'll shorten the lever and it'll soften how it comes off a little bit. I like using the clock, you know, the visualization of a clock. Where's that putt going to go in? When you have these faster putts, they're going to break a little bit more than a regular putt would. So I'm always trying to visualize if that putt's going in at 3 o'clock on the dial or 5 o'clock or whatever. But those breaking putts, you're always trying to visualize them rolling in. Very seldom do they roll in the front edge of the hole. So you want to visualize them rolling in, choke up a little bit on that club. And just like you said, if you stick to your routine, maybe an extra cleansing breath before you hit the putt, you know, yeah. if you're feeling a little bit of pressure. I like hitting in the center of the blade still, though, because anytime you're hitting a putt, you want to hit it square contact. Sometimes if you have certain putters, a face balance putter, it's okay to hit it off the toe. But if you've got a heel shafted putter or something like that, you hit it off the toe, that putt may not start on line. It might kick a little bit or deaden it a little bit too much. So depending on your putter, I'd be careful with that.
All I got to do right now is just hammer it right into the center of the stick, and it'll drop.
Right. Well, that's why.
However, yeah. If you miss it, then you got a 50-footer coming back.
Yeah, now you keep the
flag. Now you got the uphill again.
Yeah. But it's like a pool player. You know, you're planning your next shot.
Right.
So plan your shot to be putting uphill as much as you can, and that'll help your score.
Well, it's a great point about the misses, too. 15, for example, at Augusta, the miss is long.
Right.
Right. It's not short. So it's like, wow, yeah. They missed it. I see all these guys chipping from behind the green.
And right. You can miss it right.
Yeah, and you can miss it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the miss.
Right.
That's they're playing for. I mean, they're going to hit the shot on the middle of the green, or it's going to be a miss right or miss long.
And that's what good players will do. Like, they miss shots. The tour players are missing shots, but they typically have a one-way miss. Like, they'll miss it left or they'll miss it
except
right.
Except for John Rahm's yesterday. Did you see that?
No.
He had a shankopotamus.
Oh, ooh. Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
like that shank,
I'm not
right.
laughing at him because I've
no,
done it.
No, yeah. It was just like.
Can happen to all of us.
Yeah, that's the point, right? Here's one of the top players in the world. All right.
But good players will typically have a move in their swing. So, hey, if I can't miss it left, you know, I know if I've got OB down the left of a golf hole, I'm going to try to clear a little more aggressively, make sure there's no way that ball goes left. I have another move in case they can't go right, you know. So you can miss it, but you just can't miss it in the wrong spot. You know, you hate when you miss it in the bad spot. So right. When you play a lot and the good players, they'll find a way not to miss it short and left on 15 at Augusta. That's a bad miss. You really miss it that
that's
ball.
Wet. Yeah.
How about even just, David, in the, if you got a short one, maybe it's your second putt on the green, but you still have to aim outside the hole and you know it's quick. I mean, for me, I feel like that's a tough one of should I go inside the hole with more speed? Out, you know, if I'm reading it that I have to hit it outside the hole, maybe, you know, we're talking a 5-footer here, maybe, but you know it's quick.
So I'll echo Jeff's point on that one. Those are so critical that you hit them square. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in don't give the hole away if you don't have to. Make sure that you if you hit it correctly with the right speed, that it's going to go in. If you hit it correctly with the right speed and you play outside the hole, then you've counterintuitive to what you want to do. You want to make the putt. So I always try to teach my students, be a little bit more aggressive on those putts.
Right.
Try not to give the hole away if you don't have to. And I think you're going to find more success.
Don't you think the pin in will help with those now? Don't you think it's an advantage right now to try to make a fast downhiller with the pin in?
I absolutely do. Yeah. I absolutely do. I hope it takes off with local golf, amateur golf. I hope just for that pace of play, I think that it's going to be a big savings for golf courses moving around on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. Those ones that just graze the pin, they're going to kick down
they're
into the
kick
hole.
They're going to kick down in now,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I would be keeping those pins
depends
in.
Depends on the pace.
That was true.
If you hit it a little harder and you graze the side of the thing, it's not going down.
What's more important in a putt every time you hit it? Is it pace or line?
I think pace.
It's always pace.
Always yes. Pace.
It's always pace. Yeah. Pace is always more important than line.
Pass that test.
Wow. Good job. David, before we let you go here, so we'll be back in June for the International Junior Masters. If anybody wants to maybe get involved or volunteer or sponsor or anything like that, or maybe just wants more information about East Aurora, how can they contact? Who would they contact?
Contact me. Okay. I've been doing a lot of the membership stuff. We have some exciting things going on right now. Way too much to talk about on the radio.
I'll summarize it. You can try it for a month, correct?
You can.
I've read Facebook, right? Yes.
You can. We're very limited on that. I don't know if we have any. We might have one or two more spots available, but it's come out and try us and see what you think, just to get your feet wet rather than take the plunge. But we're at a really good membership level right now. We're looking to finish off our drive. But as far as International Junior Masters, PGA Junior League membership, just call the golf shop at East Aurora.
Okay, excellent. David, thanks again for coming on with us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Nice to have you here.
The PGA Pro here at East Aurora, David Jones with us here on Tee to Green as we roll on here on Masters Week. More on the Masters coming up, and we've got our Tee to Green Club giveaway coming up. That still is we roll on here from East Aurora. Thanks for being with us. Along with PGA Pro Jeff Midas, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel, Derek Kramer back in our Amherst studios. More Tee to Green from East Aurora right after this.
No, it's all good. You know, accidents happen. I've had galleries run over me. It's just, you know, when you play in front of a lot of people, things happen.
You looked like a second baseman that was having a double play broken up.
Yeah, that's where it goes. But it's all good.
That's Tiger Woods. A little unfortunate incident during his back nine yesterday with the security guard, but he seems to be okay with it as we welcome you back here to East Aurora Country Club. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Midas, Derek Kramer producing. We want to thank PGA Pro David Jones from East Aurora for joining us last segment as we continue on here with our Masters talk. And boy, Kevin, that could have gone down a real bad path for the Masters event had Tiger actually really gotten injured there.
I don't think there's a more relieved man in America.
Right? He could end up, was it Bartman?
Steve
Chicago
Bartman.
Clubs?
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
That guy.
There
yeah.
you go.
The guy from the Cubs.
He would have had
the
to
Cubs
move.
Fan.
Yeah. I mean, that was incredible. You're like, oh my, and you saw Tiger hopping there. You're like, oh no. No, 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 no.
He just tore a tendon in his ankle.
Yeah,
and he's out.
Right? That kind of shows where Tiger's at physically, that he's able to avoid that. How brief, you know, like, I thought it was a funny comment / question. It was like a second, yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, he didn't want to make a big deal of
yeah,
it.
I think he just wanted to move on from it. Like, hey, nothing really happened. You know, this guy, listen, week in and week out on PGA Tour events, there are security guards, policemen that walk with the groups for safety. You usually see maybe the officer walking with them. What you don't see, particularly with Tiger and others, there are amongst the gallery, there are people that are plainclothes.
Gotcha.
That are there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. These guys are, they need to be protected.
Well, yeah. I remember sitting in on security meetings, you know, the PGA Championships at okay. Just how much security and how much goes on for an event like that's insane that you don't know that's behind
that's right.
The ground.
Yeah,
yeah. So I can
and
imagine.
They have the
got a crowd.
PGA
yeah.
Tour has ex-CIA, ex-FBI people in charge of this stuff.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's face it. That gentleman, the security guard there, was trying to do everything he could to keep Tiger from having the crowd get near him. He was doing his job. He just yeah. happened to slip because of the rain. The course was obviously wet.
Yeah, it was an awkward moment. Yeah, but good thing no one – yeah, all's well that ends.
Somebody call Puma or FootJoy and get that man some golf shoes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, something with a little nub on the bottom, yeah, instead of sneakers.
That's right. Well, let's talk about Tiger's golf, though. I mean, he is at -6. He's one off the lead from the group, and – there's an easy argument to make that he could be clearly the solo leader at this point. Thursday's round, he had 3 makeable putts inside 10 feet, and he missed them all. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on the back nine, he stuck one to 12 before they had the weather delay, ended up missing that short birdie. It just lipped out. And then he had makeable birdies at 17 and 18, missed them. He didn't seem bothered about it, but, boy, I mean, if any of those could be going in, we'd be talking about him maybe as the solo leader right now.
All right, let me ask Jeff this question. Yeah, he's 81st out of 87 golfers inside of 10 feet.
Putting.
Putting.
Yeah. Yep.
However, he made 3 putts outside of 20 mm-hmm. yesterday. So, you know, you could say, well, that makes up for it. I don't think it does. Because
you'd like to cut those up and use them. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's correct,
yeah,
yes.
You'd
you
like
know?
To cut those lengths up. But – it looks like he's hitting the putts well, though. So it may be, you know, it may not be. If you feel like you're striping your putts and you're hitting really good putts, you're just not going in, and then you're making some longer ones, hey, your confidence is still going to be there. I don't feel like it didn't look like he hit terrible putts, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or he just ripped it by. He just maybe guessed the speed wrong or got something wrong, but they look like good putts.
Players will tell you when you talk to them about putting after the rounds, and Tiger in particular, say, I hit good putts. Mm-hmm. This is guys with the best clutch putter ever, almost, right? I mean, he's mm-hmm. unbelievable. And if he feels like he's hitting good putts, that's all that matters, right? If he feels he's rolling it well, That's all that matters. He's picking his lines. His pace may be just off, and that's what most misses you see on the PGA Tour. Either they get the line just a tad wrong, or the pace is just a tad off.
Or they misread it slightly, and you hit it down a line, and it doesn't break because it rained, so it's not breaking as much as it did. One of my favorite thing to do when I watch these events is to watch the putting. I love watching the putting strokes, especially in these majors, because they have to be so pure to roll the ball on those greens. And, you know, sometimes the best putt in the day you hit was a four-footer. You know, it might be not, you may have made a 40 or 50 footer, but the best putt you hit might have been a 4 footer downhill, left, right, whatever it was. So I think, you know, he doesn't seem shaken by it. He's near the lead. He's got to be buoyed by the fact he hasn't made putts and he's one shot off the lead.
There, one of my I'll say favorite things, but most interesting things to see when I'm working an event for PGA Tour Radio and you watch a hole, if you're parked at a hole. For times where you watch several groups, you know, Thursday, Friday, you work morning, afternoon, and there'll be hole locations that every player gets it wrong. Where and then they'll hit the putt and they'll just be like, they'll point to the right or left, like, how's it go that way? And every player does.
Well,
it's like, oh, that's a bad putt. No, when every player sees a line the right way, like they hit a good putt, and they had the read wrong. I find that interesting because, as you mentioned, when you hit good putts, that to me matters more. And I think matters more to the golfer when they know they're stroking it well.
It's interesting you said that because I was thinking yesterday, you know, they ask the other players, you know, you go play with a veteran player from the Masters and you want to learn as much as you can about the greens from him. I'd ask the guy who's sitting in the tower on 17 and has been watching those putts for the last 20 years, because you often hear an announcer say everybody's been missing the short right. Yeah. Nobody's been getting this to the hole. Yeah. And it happens.
Right.
And these are the best players and the best putters in the world. And the guys, these are the best players in the world. And they're putting the best because they're near the lead. You know, who's winning golf tournaments? Everybody hits it great, as you know. It's the guys who are making putts. So I'd be interested in asking the announcers, hey, what does this putt do?
That's why Faldo is so good.
Oh, he's great.
Right? I mean, he is so good, and he was yesterday, even on 18. Somebody tugged their tee shot, and they hit trees, and he just said, it was Jason Day. And he tugged it caught some trees there, you know, the shot tracer. Which is really cool technology. I know a couple people who work that, and they just tell me how actually you just think, oh, it's automatic. No, there's somebody operating that camera to do that. It's really – we might get them on the show someday to explain how Shot Tracer works, or Top Tracer, excuse me. And so it hits a tree, and Faldo's like, oh, that'll be about 170 yards. Like, the ball just dropped. Like, he doesn't have shot length. They're not measuring. They get up there, Jason Day, 175. I'm like, the guy knows the course. Inside and out. He knows exactly where every spot is. DeChambeau's putt on 18. He's like, I should be aiming two balls out. And he only aimed one. And he missed it to the right. I'm like, God, he just knows everything.
And he knows swings, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been a student of this, how to propel the ball forward for a very, very long time. Yeah, I like listening to Faldo.
If you've never – Faldo is
– He's a big boy.
He's big, yes. Like, he's probably 6'2".
I thought he was taller, yeah.
He's like, it could be 6'3". I mean, he is a big man.
And he's great, great on TV.
Yeah, 7:42 here at East Aurora Country Club as we roll on in Tee to Green, Masters Week. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas. We're talking about Tiger here, one off the lead.
We shouldn't be surprised by this, by the way.
No.
Tiger on the season is sixth in strokes gained, total strokes gained on the PGA Tour. He's been playing great. He's been averaging 300 yards off the tee, even when he hasn't hit driver a ton of times. Tiger's concentrating on finding fairways and hitting greens.
Right. Seems healthy.
We know he knows Augusta very well. But here's a stat that I thought was great. We've been talking about how dominant Koepka's been, and Molinari's been on his run. The last 10 major rounds, so that includes the two, obviously, this week, the four at last year's PGA and the four at the British, right?
This is for Tiger.
Yeah, yes, the last 10 major rounds. But I'm including the entire world here. The last 10 major rounds, the best cumulative score to par in the last 10 major rounds. This includes, the two of the Masters, two of the PGA, the four at the PGA and the four at the Open. Tiger -25, tied with Molinari. He's also -25. Adam Scott -22, Koepka -21. So the last 10 major rounds of championship play, Tiger has the best score to par. But think about it. He was in the lead going to the back nine of the British, so that makes sense. He was dueling with Koepka to try to win the PGA, and now he's one off the lead here. So, yes, Molinari won, but he was a little off at the PGA. Koepka won the PGA. He was a little off at the British. But in these last three majors, the last 10 rounds, Woods is the best in the world, 25 under par.
The most surprising name there is Adam Scott.
That surprised me.
Adam Scott.
Right?
Yep. Better than Koepka. Shot better than Koepka.
Who, I mean, Adam Scott's swing is just butter. Sick, right?
Yeah. He hits those long irons as good. Like, I remember seeing him at Oak Hill, and he hit off that number 9 hole that's so tough at Oak Hill. And he hit 3-iron or 4-iron, and it just...
They're lasers.
They're lasers. It was so accurate. Just it couldn't have gone any straighter, and it's so... For him to hit like a he must have hit a 3 or a 4 iron. How smooth he hits it, you know, like you'd hit a pitching wedge, just how smooth it was.
Brian, I put up a Twitter poll. What's better looking, Adam Scott's swing or Adam Scott?
I was going to say, my daughters didn't like golf until they met Adam Scott. Ooh, I like him. Ooh.
He is a handsome fella. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
But, yeah, I was surprised to hear that when you said that in his stat. I mean, he does seem to be, you know, around – but he hasn't been near the top, maybe.
So, and we talk about Tiger's putting struggles. That shows how good he's been off the tee and with his approaches. He's landing. David talked about where to land the shots here at Augusta. Tiger's done a great job of that. And his tee game with his driver, Kev, Tiger has never been a perfectly accurate driver of the golf ball, through his heyday. He's very accurate off the tee now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a good week.
Yes.
Comparable to old Tiger, he's really pretty accurate right now.
Well, he's worked a lot on getting it right.
Yeah.
Down it right. You know, in Mexico, when I followed him, on the golf course, there were two holes he hit driver on. Out of the 14, that, you know, there were two. He was hitting driving iron or 2-iron off the tee a lot just to find the fairway, and he kept himself in contention doing that. He was struggling inside of 10 feet putting again. Mm-hmm. There was one hole in particular he missed. He four-putted it. He three-putted from inside of 5 feet. It was just remarkable.
Yeah, for a guy who didn't miss his putt inside of 3 feet for like 4 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's back using the old Scotty Cameron putter that he's won so often with. Here's the interesting thing. The last time Tiger Woods won a major. You remember when the last time he won a major?
Torrey Pines, 2008.
2008. When's the last time he won a Masters, Brian?
Well, 5?
2005.
Yeah.
13, 14
Think about
years.
That for a second. It's been 2005 since Tiger Woods won the Masters. When I was looking at that the other day, I'm like, that can't be right, but it is.
He seems like a completely different player from back then now. He seems like the grizzled veteran now, you know, which he is. I mean, how old is Tiger?
43 years old.
Yeah, and he's playing a little different game now. And, you know, it seems like as they get older, the putting maybe isn't always as sharp, but you catch fire once in a while. He's seen a lot of putts go in, and he's seen a lot of putts not go in. But he's going to make for great TV this weekend. Just to have him near the lead is going to be awesome.
Well, we don't talk about his wedge game anymore, right? His short game.
No, because it's optimum.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, he's just incredible.
He was struggling for a while in the middle there with some chips and bat and stuff. Not anymore.
But one of the most iconic highlight of Tiger Woods at the Masters was the chip in on 16.
That's right. Mm. The swoosh hanging right on the cup, and then poof,
yes.
Drops
yeah.
right in. Nike yeah. loved that for that commercial.
Oh, I mean, my
but,
gosh.
just an incredible shot. I mean, that's there. There's Phil's jump, right? I mean, those are...
Well, Phil's jump was kind of funny in a way, though.
Well...
He's turned it into a brand, though.
Yes,
he's turned it into a brand. But, you know, that's his Masters moment, in my opinion. Tiger's chip in, just phenomenal. And
Jack in 86.
Jack in 86. Yes, the putt, yeah, and the
maybe,
just yes, unbelievable.
Sir. Yes, sir, Vern Lundquist on that. That was great. Yeah,
which I said that once. I've maybe said it twice, and I hated myself for saying it. But that, I feel it's kind of a homage to Vern Lundquist. If someone makes a big yeah, yes, sir, that's big. Which, by the way, Ben Wright who said it originally? Did you guys know this?
No.
This was on a yeah.
Ben Wright said yes, sir.
I think it was Ben Wright who said it. Was it Ben? There's a British announcer. It might have been Ben Wright. Said it ahead of Vern. Vern didn't know. Like, Vern had heard. Like, afterwards, he's like, my gosh, I didn't intentionally steal his line.
Yeah.
It just, you know, maybe it was said earlier that day on the broadcast. That was all.
That's like, what it was?
Yeah, it happened That's earlier, right. And maybe it's just kind of like, oh, yes, sir, it feels like it fits here. And it fit. And so Vern had this incredible highlight, right? And the guy said it first and didn't.
That's
how it works sometimes.
And Vern's still working, even though he's retired from all of his – college football and college basketball, he still does the 16th. So it's good to hear him on the broadcast. All right, we got to take a timeout here. 7:49. We're live at East Aurora Country Club. Beautiful day. The sun peeking through here as we overlook the patio and the 18th green.
Beautiful morning.
That's right. Beautiful day. Absolutely. More Masters talk as we roll on here on Tee to Green. Got our Tee to Green Club giveaway coming up. And we'll, of course, break down everything you need to know about today's third round. With PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel. More Tee to Green live at East Aurora Country Club right after this on WGR.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, brought to you by Encore Golf, Buffalo's Golf Ball, and by Donald Ross, the world's finest golf apparel, and by New Era Golf, headwear engineered to perform that never sacrifices style.
Everything pretty much off the tee, hit the ball well, hit some quality iron shots, and when I miss the greens, I miss them in the right spot, and hold a couple of nice putts. So, you know, a good day all round.
Francesco Molinari there, one of the leaders at the top of the Masters as we check our PGA Tour leaderboard. Molinari, one of five at minus seven. Molinari, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, Louis Oosthuizen, all at minus seven. Four golfers are one back, including Dustin Johnson, Justin Harding, Xander Schauffele, and Tiger Woods. The group at five under includes, nice names here, Poulter and Rahm. The four-under group, including Mickelson and Kuchar. And don't forget about the guys at three-under. They're only four back with two rounds to go. You've still got DeChambeau there. Justin Thomas has quietly worked his way in there. He's at minus three. Tony Finau, who seems to be a guy that is now a guy that likes this course. He had a good year last year playing on one ankle. He's at three-under.
See the booty war for the par three?
That's right. He put it on. That was funny.
Yeah, that was cool.
Ricky Fowler, quietly hanging around too. He is at minus three. The names coming into the week that maybe we thought of that could contend. By the way, I thought Jordan Spieth was on his way to missing the cut. He had a terrible Thursday, came back with a great day yesterday. He's at minus one, so he's around. The defending champion Patrick Reed is at minus one. Two-time Masters champ Bubba Watson is at even. That puts him in a tie for 36. Also even is Rory McIlroy, who was the betting favorite coming in.
So here's the interesting thing you're going to see today, right? Was it Ricky Fowler's like a 12:45-ish tee time at his 3-under par?
Large field today, right, because of the way the cut works?
Yes. 65 players, the most in, they said, in the modern time of the Masters.
10-shot rule in effect. So you have Ricky Fowler, 12:45 going up. I'm going to use him as an example. He's minus three. He's four back, right, of the lead at minus seven. That's within range for sure. And you have because you have so many players on there, it'd be interesting to me to see how the three unders, how aggressively they play, because we're talking before when David Jones, you can't play all that aggressive at Augusta National. It's a difficult place to play. But you have to make some sort of move because you
There's
know
so many players right
yeah,
now. Right.
The guys at 6 and 7, like if you don't birdie the par 5s today, if you're at 3-under par, you are given a shot away to the field, for sure. You have to birdie the par fives today. You just have to, because you have to assume the leaders
Which
are going
to. Which
puts
a lot of pressure on the tee shot on those holes.
Absolutely.
It feels like 13. If you get it in the fairway, that's a four. Yeah, you should make four.
Yes.
95% of the time. And same thing on 15. 15 is a little harder to hit.
15, I think, is the one you most often see. 8 and 15, right, the ones you most often see the pars at. You've got to birdie 2, and if you don't birdie 2 and 13, it's like you bogeyed the hole.
Yeah, 2's a layup for those guys.
Yes.
I feel like you hit a decent drive, and they're on there in 2, no
problem.
Yeah,
and same with 14. 14, if you hit the tee shot well, everybody's getting near the surface.
And it's funny, we can talk about the Masters hole by hole. Everybody knows every hole at the Masters. That's what's really cool. Every year you get to watch these guys go play these holes. The fourth hole, that par three, they had it playing really short yesterday, 178 yards.
Yes.
That's one of the hardest par threes I've ever seen to par, and they made that nice and easy yesterday.
By the way, it may look different on television. First time they've let spectators and patrons down the right side and behind the green.
On four?
Yeah, that's new this year they did it because they moved the 50 back 40 yards.
Can they go on the right side of five? Because you couldn't do that before, I don't think. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Because the tee box got – no, they couldn't, because that would be where it is. Since they moved that tee box back, they had more room to put patrons there. so they can watch the event. You know what? We got to take a break, right?
Yeah, I just want to throw this little nugget in here before we go to break. So we mentioned Rory was the betting favorite coming in. He and Dustin Johnson were tied. Tiger was not, but there was an interesting bet placed that some of the people in Vegas had to maybe change Tiger's odds coming in. 2 weeks before the tournament, an unknown bettor came in and put an $86,000 bet on Tiger to win at 12-1.
Jeez.
At 12-1.
Wow.
So, I mean, you're looking.
That's disposable income right there.
That's right. So, yeah, go ahead and do that. Do 86,000
times 12.
Where
did the 86 come from? Yeah, what
right.
happened to 80 or 90?
So
well,
you can figure
it's
out.
12, right? You had to have the multiple in there.
Right. So figure out how big of a payday that's going to be. But what if you're that guy right now? Now, we know how modern technology works now. There actually is a site where you can now sell that ticket and try to make a profit off it. I saw quite a bit. People were betting Texas Tech to win the national championship at like 30-1. You know, you're a Texas Tech alum. You threw $1,000 on it maybe back in October, or $100 on it back in October, and it was paying huge. So people were saying, well, you know, if you threw $1,000 and it's $300,000 for Texas Tech, they were 30-1. So people were selling it for like $100,000, saying, well, I'll guarantee myself money. And it's
who was buying
it's like
that
a prop
for $100,000?
It's a prop exchange.
Wow.
So they have this site now that you have a bet out there. You place it. As it starts to maybe look better and better, you can sell it on this site. And it's called a prop exchange site.
That's further.
So somebody can buy it off you, and then.
So what does $86,000 bet for Tiger to win at 12-1 sell for on that prop exchange?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If you were, I mean, if you
it's
are
still early, it's still early. I mean, there's 36
this guy
halfway
with it.
Through the tournament.
So right now, if Tiger were to win, you'd get
$1 million.
$1.03 million.
Hmm. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if you have that bet for $86,000. What are you selling? What is making you say yes right now?
It has to be $500,000 or $300,000 or something at that point. Yeah, because if you can spend $86,000 on a bet,
if you have disposable $86,000,
yeah.
you're probably wanting to let. This
I might
run
hang on.
Darn
to
right.
It
just, yes. That was what I was going to say. I'm like, wait a second here.
If I might let it ride.
If you got $86,000 to place down on a bet, you're, like, you're waiting to see that to the finish. You don't. You're not needing the money. You didn't take out a second mortgage to place the bet. Is I guess.
But like you said,
here.
There is a long way to go. It's only halfway, so yeah, but it's pretty tempting right now. I'd love to be in his position.
All right, hey, coming up next hour, we're gonna have our TD Green Club giveaway, the Hook and Gaff watch. We're gonna give that away on our Facebook Live. We'll do that during a break. We'll announce the winner on the air, but that drawing will happen on our Facebook Live feed, the TD Green page on Facebook. Also, we got to talk about Zach Johnson's tee shot on 13 yesterday.
Yes, that's coming up next hour, too.
Got to do that.
That wasn't his tee shot.
Correct. Programming note.
Tease, Jeff. That's teaser.
That's right. We It is 8 o'clock now, and I know some of you might be tuning in looking to hearing from sports investors.
We just talked about the bet.
As we're talking about betting here. Because of our two-hour golf show here today, with it being Masters Week, Sports Investors is going to air immediately after our show on WGR from 9 to 10. So again, Sports Investors, for those of you tuning in for that here at 8, it'll air from 9 to 10. And that'll come right after Tee to Green. You get an extra hour of us here as it's Masters Week. We're live at East Aurora Country Club. More coming up. We'll talk about Zach Johnson, our Tee to Green Club giveaway. We'll, of course, see if we need to adjust our picks from last week as we roll on here from East Aurora. Kevin Sylvester, PJ Pro, Jeff Metis. I'm Brian Colziel, Derek Kramer producing. Thanks for being with us. Another hour of Tee to Green, more Masters Cup talk coming up right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.